Jesus, Jesus. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 29, I believe it is. Breaking out a new sword. It may be a little dull, but we're going to sharpen her up. And today and tonight, we're going to find out about Jacob. He's going to get married. He's going to get married. And he's going to have some young'uns. It's going to be a pretty good pile of stuff. I don't know if we'll get it all took care of in one sentence, so we're just going to go after it. Then Jacob went on his journey and came into the land of the people of the east, and he looked, and behold, a well in the field, and lo, there were three flocks of sheep lying by it, and out of the well they watered the flocks, and the great stone was upon the mouth of it. So we've got three flocks. He finds a well. When he went, remember, the servant went earlier to find his mama. She came out by the well, and I guess he's parking out by a well he's probably heard of. He's heard how it looks, where it's at, and all this. But all of a sudden, this well now has a big old rock or a big old boulder on top of it, which is put there to keep people from just nonchalantly uncovering it, let the water get evaporated, let the water spew out or whatever. And it has three flocks of sheep there, and it's already got, and they're waiting. And it says, "Thither were all the sheep's flocks gathered. And they rolled a stone from the well's mouth and watered the sheep, and they put a stone again upon the well's mouth in the place. And Jacob said to them, My brethren, whence be ye? And they said, Of Haran are we. And he said to them, Know ye Laban, the son of Nahor? And they said, We know him." In other words, Nahor was pretty known in that town and pretty recognized in that town. He'd been there a while, and so he knew for a fact he was at the right place anyways. He says, "We know Nahor, we know of him, and we know about him," and stuff like that. And they said, "We know him," and he said unto them, "Is he well?" In other words, is he prosperous? Is he healthy? Is everything going good with his family? Is everything okay with him? Because he was trying to make sure, you know, I don't want to come at a bad time. Everything's great and going on, and he's prosperous, healthy, the Lord's blessed him and all that. And they said unto him, "He is well." In other words, yes, he's been taken care of. He's been prospered. He's been dealt with by God in a merciful way. And he says, yes, he's been taken care of, and he is well. And behold, Rachel, his daughter, cometh with the sheep. Imagine that. He's going to find a wife. And the man he's going to go get a wife from, or going to go try to get a wife from, he's sitting there, they've got three or four flocks sitting out here, the well's covered up, and they say, "We can't uncover the well till everybody gets here." And behold, while he's talking to them, he says, "And look there, over yonder, there's Rachel, one of his daughters, coming down here to water the sheep." You couldn't beat that with a stick, right? It's just going on. He said, "There is Rachel, behold, there she is, there she's coming with the sheep. Rachel, his daughter, cometh with the sheep." In fact, the word Rachel means sheep. If y'all look that up, she's a sheep. But she's a sheep herder, but yet she may have had other brothers or cousins or what helping to do the menial, the harder work. But at that time, she wasn't being the lower daughter because she was a shepherd, like some people might think. Sheep herding and sheep doing was a good occupation, a honest occupation. At least it was according to what Gill said. Now, when we talk to the commentators in Luke, they had a worse reputation because they were scoundrels and thieves and everything else the sheep herders were. So we get from all the way from the beginning of the Bible, sheep herding is a good occupation. We get to Luke, you got to watch them old boys. They might steal you blind or something. So anyways, you can take that with 10 cents right there. And he said, "Lo, it is yet high day." In other words, what do you mean they're coming to water the sheep? Why are the sheep sitting here? Why haven't they already been watered? Why haven't they already been put under the shade trees? Why haven't they already been taken care of? "It is high day, neither is there in the time the cattle should be gathered together and water the sheep and go and feed them." In other words, you should have done had them water. You should have done had them out in the pasture. You should have done had them out in the fields. And undoubtedly, they must have been robbers or thieves or something around about. So they had a covenant together where everybody gathered up into one place at one time for protection. and all the herds got watered at the same time. That way nobody could say, well, you got yours more than I got mine, or you stayed there longer than I got mine. So they all got there at the very same time, and whoever dipped out the water dipped it all for all of them. And he says, and while he yet spake unto them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she kept them. She was the one who watched over them and led them and guided them. And it came to pass when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban's mother's brother. Now, I don't know how strong Jacob was, but it appears like this rock was big enough, this stone was big enough, that it took several guys or several girls, however how many who was there, to pick this thing up, slide it out of the way for the watering. And Jacob walks over there, and it takes him with one arm. He must have really been liking what he was seeing. And with one arm, he pulls that stone out of the way, and he starts watering the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother. And Jacob kissed Rachel. Now, we're not talking about a love kiss or like that, but in that time when you met somebody who was a relation to you and you told them where you were from and stuff like that, they had that kiss on the cheek thing going on. And he says, and he kissed Rachel, and he lifted up his voice and he wept. He's sitting there in the back of his mind, he's saying, man, God has prospered me. He's brought me all the way across this desert or wherever I came from. Right straight away I went to the well where my possible wife is. And man, she's a good looking girl too, if this is going to be her. And man, he lifted up his voice, he thanked God, he wept, he made known who he was. And Jacob told Rachel that he saw he was her father's brother and that he was Rebekah's son. And she ran and told her father. So as soon as she heard what was going on and who he was, she left the sheep with the keepers or whatever, and she ran back to the house. And she says, and it came to pass when Laban heard the tidings of Jacob, his sister's son, and he ran to meet him and embraced him. He kissed him, and he brought him into the house and told Laban all things. And I'm thinking, Laban possibly might have ran out there because he's thinking, you know, just a few years back, that servant of Abraham's come. And when he come, he was bringing necklaces and jewels and all kind of stuff. This boy, if he's who he says he is, he's liable to have all kind of jewels and stuff. He might be passing out presents. You never know. So we know his attitude is he's kind of he likes to manipulate things and get things. So it says he ran out there to meet him. And he says, and he brought him into the house and he kissed him. He brought him in the house and he told Laban all these things. He says, here's what happened back at the house. He probably even says, and I'm probably here because my Esau, my brother, wants to kill me. My mama wants me to come out here and get a good girl for a wife. My dad wants to get me out over here where I can get me a good girl for my wife. And so he's telling him all this stuff, and I can just see Laban's gears are just a-turning. Oh boy, he can't go home without a wife. He can't go home real soon because his brother will kill him maybe. I got this boy right where I need him. I got him right where I can deal with him. And Laban said unto him, surely thou art my bone and my flesh. And he abode with him the space of a month. And we're talking about a 30-day month or a 31-day month. So he stayed there for a month. And after a while, he worked and he chopped wood and he kept sheep. And naturally, he talked to Rachel all he could. And so the month went by, and Laban said unto Jacob, because thou art my brother, talking about him being near to kin, close, stuff like that, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be? In other words, you know, I can't just keep you working here forever and ever and ever. I mean, I got to pay you something. Just what you got on your mind? I already know your story. What you got on your mind? What can I do for you? What can I give you for wages that I might be able to let you stay here and hang around? And it says here, and Laban had two daughters. He'd already had his eyes on one for sure. He said that Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. So we have Leah, the older, and Rachel, the younger. And Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. Now, I always considered tender-eyed like doughy-eyed and, you know, big eyes and maybe a plain face and all. Not ugly, but just not beautiful either. But some of the commentators seem to think that maybe she had like red eye or some problems with her eyes where she couldn't get out, because it says she stayed in while Rachel went out and fed the flock, stuff like that. So she may have had some kind of eye issue or something where she couldn't go out or whatever much. But it says she was tender-eyed, and that might possibly mean that she had some illness in her eyes. And I was always thinking tender-eyed was like one of them girls that just sort of looked at you like that, you know, and they weren't quite enough to wow you, but you knew they were there. They were okay. Anyways, that's my version. But tender-eyed and maybe sickness in the eyes will work good. And Jacob loved Rachel. He might have liked Leah, but he loved Rachel. Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, the younger daughter. Wow. 7 years is a long time when you're in love. Looking every day at the one you're in love with, wanting to be with the one you love with. And he says, I will serve you for 7 years for the younger. That was the deal. I'll serve you for 7 years. When my 7 years is finished, you'll make her my wife. That was the deal. He says, Rachel the younger, and Laban's, and 7 years for Rachel the younger daughter. And Laban said, it is better that I give her thee, give her to thee, than I should give her to another man. Abide with me. In other words, well, it'd be better for me to give her to you than just whoever's down the street or whatever. So this ain't a bad deal. You work for me for 7 years, I'll give her to you. It'll be no big deal. It's almost like he's selling cattle. It's almost like, yeah, she's my daughter, but it's almost like a possession. Well, we're going to work this deal out. You'll work for 7 years, and the wages of your work is Rachel. You're actually buying Rachel. You're not just betrothing her and all that, but you're actually buying Rachel. Of course, I guess if you give a dowry, you're just basically buying her too. But he didn't have a dowry because we know he came over broke and on foot. So he's going to work for 7 years for Rachel. And it says, Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days. Wow, he was happy. He couldn't wait. He was just all over it. For he loved her. He loved her. Not only did he want her, but he actually truly loved her. He was willing to wait the 7 years and make it all right. Everything was going to be perfect and right. He says, and Jacob said unto Laban, after he'd served for 7 years, he said, Jacob served for 7 years of Rachel and seemed but a few days, but he loved her. And Jacob said unto Laban, give me my wife. In other words, look, I have served the 7 years. I've done everything you've asked me to do. I've taken care of your sheep. I've watered your sheep. I've chopped wood. Whatever you needed me to do for 7 years, I have done it with no grudging, no complaints, no griping. Now it's time for you to give me my wife. For my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. In other words, I have done everything necessary. I've done everything that we agreed upon. And now it's time to consummate the marriage. It's time for her to actually physically be mine, that I may go in unto her. And Laban gathered unto him all the men of the place, and he made a feast. We're having a marriage feast. Marriage feast lasts about 7 days, and they party and have a good time. Jesus went to a marriage feast, helped out that old boy, ran out of wine. He helped him out, took care of that. He says, and he gathered all the people together, and this feast was for Rachel's marriage. She had to be around there somewhere. She had to be somewhere where all the men knew exactly who the wedding was for. And back up at the top, it says, he served for the younger. No mention of any rules or anything about, well, we've got to give the older away first or anything like that. The deal was, I'm working for the younger. And no mention of any other rules, regulations, or anything. In fact, all the men that come to this thing are under the impression that Rachel's the one getting married. They've heard about it. They've seen it. They expect it. But that's not what's going to happen. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and he brought her to him, and he went in unto her. And Laban gave his daughter Leah, Zilpha, his maid for a handmaid. So in that day and time, and in some places still today, what happens is the girl, the husband, goes into the marriage chamber. Usually the lights are out. It's dark. And he's either in the bed chamber or wherever. And another lady or another woman of trustworthiness brings in the bride, who is either veiled or completely covered over. And they bring her to the husband, and they feel around in the dark till they get them together and say, okay, y'all are together. And then that person leaves. And so Jacob's in this totally dark room with no lights, with a woman who's about the size of what he's expecting, all covered up from head to toe with these veils and stuff on, and actually she don't open her mouth one time. And if she did, she may have sounded a little bit like her sister. Sometimes sisters sound a lot alike. So anyways, he consummated what he thought was the marriage agreement, but instead he had relations with Leah. He didn't mean to. That wasn't his purpose. That wasn't his plan. But yet he did. So when the morning gets around, he says, and Laban gave Zipporah. And it came to pass in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said unto Laban, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Not. This wasn't no accident. And Rachel couldn't have not known what was going on, because she'd have been hollering and screaming, whoa, wait a minute, stop! So undoubtedly, she was in obedience to her daddy and stayed out of the way or stayed back or whatever. So this wasn't a totally innocent thing on nobody's part. And he said, what is this that thou hast done to me? Did not I serve thee for Rachel? Wasn't our contract for Rachel? Wherefore hast thou beguiled me? In other words, you have caused me to commit adultery. You have caused me to go to bed with a woman that I didn't get betrothed to. You've caused me to sleep with somebody that wasn't really my wife at that time. But now, because I've slept with her, she is my wife. So I have a wife that I didn't want, and I still want the wife I still want. What have you done to me? What kind of deal is this? I'd have been mad too. Anyways, we know that God's working this thing out, because we know that in Leah we get 5 children. Maybe 6. 5 children for sure. Judah being one of them. And of course, Judah being the tribe that the Messiah comes out of. So Leah had to be in the picture, even if it was done unwittingly and unrighteously. God, behind the scenes, was working these things out and puts Judah in the bloodline of the Messiah from the wife he did not particularly think he was having. In fact, he did it ignorantly. He didn't even know he was getting her. But after he got her, he got her. And then it says, and it came to pass in the morning when he talked to Laban, he said, what hast thou done to me? I have served thee for Rachel. Thou hast beguiled me. And Laban said, it must not be done in our own country to give the younger before the firstborn. That sounds good, but he never brought that thing up before. I mean, in 7 years, you'd have said, he'd have been thinking, I sure hope Leah hurry up and gets married so I can get married. I sure hope Leah hurry up and gets married so I can get married. That would have been my thought. I hope somebody comes along and sweeps her off her feet and takes her away, because I want to marry Rachel. And if she don't get married, then I don't get married. But instead, that's never been his thought. That wasn't even in none of the scriptures here. He wasn't waiting for somebody to sweep her away. He just assumed Rachel was okay. It's going to be all right. I'm going to get the girl I want. There ain't no problem. 7 years up, boy, here we go. And Laban said, it must not be done in our country to give the younger before the first. You think some of those men that were there wouldn't have been saying at the party, saying, this is how we always do it here. I wonder what's going on. Is it going to be two weddings? What's happening? Yeah. And then he says, fulfill her weeks, and I will give thee this also for the service that thou shalt serve with me yet another 7 years. In other words, you go ahead and stay with her the week, the marriage week, with Leah. And if you'll stay with her for the marriage week, consummate the marriage, go in and out as husband and wife for the whole week, then I will give you Rachel, but you still got to serve me another 7 years because of it. He was a conniving little dude. So you're going to get her. You got to stay with her now 7 days so everything's legal and proper and everything else. But as soon as you get through with her, then you can have Rachel, but you got to still serve me 7 more years to keep her. If you don't, you don't get her. So now he's going on 14 years for these two girls. And of course, the two maids that he gets for free, he didn't want either one of them either, but he got them. So it says here, and Jacob did so, and he fulfilled her week. In other words, he did the husband-wife thing for the full week, and he gave him to Rachel, his wife, to be wife also. And Laban gave Rachel, his daughter, Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her maid. So both of the women have their own maids, their own lady to go in and out and watch over them, help with the cleaning, help with the kids if there's any kids or what have you. Both of them have been given to that thing. And it says, and when he was also at Rachel, and he went in unto Rachel. So in other words, as soon as the week was up with Leah, he started having relations with Rachel. But he still had to serve for 7 years because of it. And he went in unto Rachel, and he loved Rachel more than Leah, and he served with him yet 7 other years. He says, and when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And when he says hated, it's not like, man, I really hate you for what you did to me, but he loved Rachel. Leah was okay, but she wasn't as beautiful, she wasn't as resourceful, she wasn't as outgoing, she was stuck in the house with her sickness or whatever it may be. He liked her a little bit, but he loved Rachel. And so the Lord looked at it this way, you really despise her because of what happened, but you really love Rachel. And so the Lord says, I can fix that. Because you hate her, or it seems that you hate her, he opened her womb. And he says, and Rachel was barren. So Leah all of a sudden starts popping out kids. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb and Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and she bare a son and she called his name Reuben. She might have even thought Reuben was going to be the Messiah because she'd heard stories about the bloodline of Jacob was going to come to the Messiah. She might even have thought, hey, I'm going to have kids first. I might even have the Messiah. Who knows? And he says, and Reuben, for he said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. How therefore my husband will love me. In other words, he's seen how I've been being treated. He's seen what's been going on. In fact, Reuben means to be looked upon or looked at. Behold, a son. And so she says, man, the Lord's going to see this and my husband's going to see this child and he's going to get all excited. He's going to start liking me a whole lot better. He's going to start loving me a whole lot more. And she conceived again. Maybe at 9 months, maybe a little earlier. Some people think it was a little earlier than that, but maybe at 9 months. In fact, she's going to have like 4 kids in a row here. So we know before Rachel ever has a child, before Rachel ever has one, we got 4 young'uns already being born here. And it says, and she conceived again and bare a son and said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated. She's still in that hated mode. The Lord hath heard that I was hated. He hath therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon, in other words, Simeon stands for the Lord hears, or the Lord can hear, because the Lord heard that I was hated. Because, first of all, he saw that I was hated. Now he has heard that I am hated. As he's done, had two children, which should be tenderizing Jacob's old heart. He's a daddy. He's got young'uns. And then she conceived again. Wow. She's getting after it. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, now, this time, will my husband be joined unto me. In other words, this child's name is joined unto. It's called Levi, meaning joined to or connected to or brought to. Now my husband, because I have had the third son, my husband's going to really want to be near me and close to me. Because back then, popping them sons out was supposed to be make you honored, and people looked at, wow, look at all the sons he's got. So she's saying, he's going to really be admired with the neighborhood because of all these boys. And she conceived Levi and said he was joined. And she conceived again and bare a son. And she said, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore, she called his name Judah and left bearing for a little while. She'll bear another one later. But she says, all of a sudden, instead of being hated and worried about being hated and worried about being despised, she says, I got me a fourth one. I'm going to start praising God. I'm going to start giving God glory. I'm going to give God blessing. In fact, Judah stands for praise in the order of the gospel. Hearing. In fact, the order of the gospel, I got that wrote as a note. And it says here, first of all, you see, then you hear, then you're joined, and then you praise. It's kind of like being saved almost. But here's the way the children came. First of all, one, he saw that she was hated, naming that one Reuben. He heard that she was hated, calling him Simeon. And then he joined them together, calling him Levi. And then Judah came and she praised the Lord for everything that was going on and being taken place. Order of the gospel. We see it, we hear it, we're joined to it, and then we praise God for it. And so we see here, he was tricked into marrying Leah. And later on we're going to find out that these girls contrived between themselves to give the maids to him back and forth. That just gets to be a real patent place. But the thing is, we see here, before the law was made, I need to make this point, before the law was made, and the law says, first of all, he's supposed to have one wife. First of all, he's not supposed to have more than one. He's not supposed to have two sisters for a wife, if you read Leviticus. So if all this would have been taking place after the law, everything he has done here is illegal and against the rules. He's slept with a woman he wasn't married to or wasn't supposed to be married to. Then he married two sisters. Now, he didn't bring them in the same room together. That's another bad thing. But he didn't do that, but he did sleep with this one and sleep with that one. And then he also sleeps with their maids later. So he has polygamous relations, more than one wife, and we'll see by the names of the children, by the fact that they're all the tribes of Judah, they're all the tribes of Israel, that God has made this happen, even though it's happening when we look back at it and say, everything that went on here was totally wrong. And if we went all the way back to where Moses is, we'd be totally against the law, against the rules, against all legalism. And yet God allowed him to have children with Leah. He allows him to be with Rachel. And he still lets him be with both of the maids before it's over with. And he still made him from being Jacob into being Israel before it's over. So it shows here our sinful condition, our messed up condition, and still even after all that, God can turn you from being a Jacob into an Israel. And he has the power to do that. He could put sin away, he could put the transgression away, he could put the iniquity away, and he could still take a sinful man and make him into what he wants him to be. So we get a lot of things happening in this chapter that if we really look at it from the outside looking in, when people say, I can prove this Bible stuff's all messed up, say, he violated a rule, he violated a rule, and he violated a rule, and he says, but there's one rule they're missing. God's in charge. I don't care what kind of rules we try to say, point out, if he did all this, this, and this, I mean, we'd kicked him out of church. And yet God orchestrated every bit of it so he could get the right wives, the right children, the right everything born in the right place, the right order, and make him what we call the tribes of Israel. All right. Brother Neil, would you pray for us, please?